Well, praise God, church. Y'all ready for some word this morning? Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. And I just want you to mark that in your scriptures. That's what I preached last week when I was preaching about three areas that God wants us free from. God wants you to walk in freedom, church. God is for you, and He wants you to walk in freedom. Anything that's holding you back, anything that's hindering you, anything that's keeping you from being who you are or doing what God's called you to do, He wants you healed from it. Hello? No matter what it is, no matter what it is, you can't function in your job correctly. You can't function in your marriage correctly. You can't function with people correctly. Whatever the situation is, God wants you healed from it. He wants you restored. Jesus is a restorer. Everybody say, Jesus is a restorer. He wants to restore everything in your life. That means your physical body. And last week I was talking about physical healing and that how you can argue with me all day long. It doesn't make any difference because when you go read through the scriptures, there's no doubt that God is a healer, that He is a God who wants to restore and wants to heal us. And He wants us physically healed. Now, do we walk in it all the time? Well, I want to tell you what, no, because it's the one thing that God does for us that we tend as humans to look in the physical realm before we ever look to the spiritual realm. In other words, when you get saved, when you come to Jesus and you feel a pounding in your heart and you want to give your life to Jesus because you know you're not right with Him and you really believe in Him and you come forward or however you do it, wherever you do it, whatever you do, but something on the inside of you says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you pray a prayer, you make a confession, or you cry out to Him, and then something happens on the inside of you, you know that you got saved. You know you're right with God. How about that? You know you're right with God because His blood is done. But you don't see anything. You don't get a little ticket comes down from heaven, you know, and floats down, and there's your name, and Jesus says, way to go. You know, it's got His signature on it, and you say, look, I've got this. This is my ticket to heaven. You don't get that, but you know something happens on the inside of you. You know you're different. You know that things don't seem the same. You know when a burden has been lifted from you. That when we start talking about physical healing, what we always tend to do is we tend to say, Jesus, thank you for healing me. And then we look to see, are we healed? The one thing we receive totally and completely by faith, but whenever we get into the physical healing part of things, we start looking at everything in the natural. And I'm going to tell you something, that's our problem. That's what trips us up every time with healing. And we got to get out of that. We got to develop a culture in this church that we believe with all of our heart in God who is a healer, who is a miraculous miracle worker, and that He's going to do things that are right. Now, let me just tell you this story. Last week, because I knew I was preaching on this, the Lord, you know, and I'm not going to say boomed a big booming voice. I just had an impression on the inside that I shouldn't lay hands on people and pray for them, but preach the word first, build some faith in you, and then just pray like I did. And so if you were here in the service last week, you know, I just asked you to stand up if you needed physical healing, and I started praying over you. And I don't know if anybody caught this. Anybody was really paying attention to what I was saying, but I hope you were. But anyway, as I was praying, I said out of my mouth, I just said the word ligament. And I just thought, why did I say that? The whole time I'm praying, I'm thinking, why did I say that? That's silly. I mean, That doesn't sound right. I mean, what am I even talking about ligament? I don't know nothing about nothing. You know, what am I talking about ligament for? And I said ligament. And then I had three testimonies last week of people calling me and saying that they were healed and it was a tendon or a ligament problem. Now, I didn't know what I was doing. I just thank God I'm so ignorant that the Holy Ghost can use me. You know, and I wasn't thinking in my head about anything, and God just did what God did. I just want you to understand, that's what He has a word for you. You've got to come to the understanding in life that in physical healing, God wants you healed, but He has a word for you. He has something for you that He wants to speak to you and show you, wants you to hear. And when you hear that, I want to tell you something, it changes something on the inside of you and sets you free. Amen? So you got to find that word that God's got for you. That's what the story in 2 Kings was. Hezekiah, you know, Isaiah came to him and he gave him the word that he was going to die. Isn't that nice? How would you like for me to come to the hospital and pray for you? Pastor, I just want you to come pray for me. I go, then, yeah, the Lord said, get your house in order, you're going to die. I said, Pastor, get out of here. What are you talking about, man? We don't want you to pray like that. Well, that's what Isaiah did to Hezekiah, the king. And so he turned his face to the wall and cried, and Isaiah left the court and left his house and was going out across the courtyard. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, go back now, tell him he's going to live. He's going to give me 15 more years. So see, God had a word for him. And Hezekiah found healing. Now, if you would go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. I got to tell you this story this morning because if I try to read through all the text, it's going to get too long. And I'm going to burn up too much time here reading. And so it starts here in 2 Samuel chapter 4. And it's an interesting story. It goes all the way through, and I'll give you the scriptures as we go through them. But there's a story here about a kid. His name is one of the hardest ones for me to say in the Bible. I always get it mixed up, but it's Mephibosheth. And he was the son of Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of Saul, the king. Now, if you know the story, Saul was the king of Israel, and then he did wrong in the eyes of God, and he was losing his authority as king, and God told him he was. And so he knew that David, King David, was going to be the king after him, and he didn't like it. And so every time David would come in the room, he was just going to come in there to sing or worship or do whatever righteous thing God had called him to do. Saul would try to kill him. And he was always trying to throw a spear at him and kill him. So can you imagine walking into the room, every time he came in the room, here's Saul throwing spears at you. Well, David, you know, is a righteous man, loved God, served God. And it comes about that Saul's kingdom is finally destroyed. And what always happens whenever in those times is every time there was a change of kings, well, what would happen would be the king that was coming in to rule would kill all the family of the previous king there because, you know, you might have some sneaky uncle trying to lead a coup or something going on, so you just killed all the rest of the family. So when Saul's kingdom is falling, the rest of the family knew we got to run for our lives because they're going to come try to kill us. And so the story here is that in 2 Samuel 4:4 that Saul has a son, Jonathan, and Jonathan has his son, Mephibosheth. There you go. And so I'm going to call him Mel right now just to finish this out. Okay, is that okay with y'all? Mephibosheth is now Mel. Okay, so he's just a baby, and he's in the arms of the nursemaid or whatever you want to call her. And so they're all fleeing and running, and she drops him. All right? And it says that when she dropped him, he became lame in his feet. So I don't know what physically happened. I don't know, you know, was he dropped on his head and it did something to his spine? I don't know. I'm not here to, that's not the point. But anyway, he got dropped, and he was lame. Now, let me ask you the question. Was it his fault? Right? He's just a baby. Wasn't his fault. What happened to him was not his fault. The second point of the message today is the thing that you need to be healed from in life, and I'm just going to call it external abuse. God wants you free from external abuse. It didn't have anything to do with you. You just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time or whatever. You were like Mel here, just got dropped on your head. It wasn't your fault. There wasn't anything you could do about it. Okay? It was external situation that came into your life that affected you. All right? Now, this can be serious. I mean, it was serious with him. He was lame in his feet. But the world today is full of people who have had things perpetrated against them that they had no, it was not their fault. Are you with me? Like, in other words, if you go to a bar and you provoke a fight and you get your front teeth knocked out, that's your fault. Are you with me? That you may have externally got your teeth knocked out, but you caused it. That's next week's message. This week I'm talking about the external abuse that comes into life that had nothing to do with you. You just were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe in your family something happened in your family and it didn't have anything to do with you. You just were born into that family. Are y'all with me? Now, just like Mel here, he's lame in his feet. Now, go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 9, David now takes rulership. Okay? And now he's king. And the first thing he does when he's king, and you can read through this verses 1 through 11, it'll tell you all this, is that he wants to find, is there anybody of the house of Jonathan left alive? Because I want to bless him. Because David had a covenant with Jonathan, and he wanted to fulfill that covenant and bless his children. And so somebody pops up and says, yeah, there was. Jonathan had a son, Omel, and he's lame in his feet. So David sends out the order, go find Mel. Bring him in. I want to see him. And he comes in there, and let me see. What verse it is here? Probably, I don't even have a verse on here, so probably 8, try 8. Try 7. So I'm just going to start that 7. It says, so now when Mel comes and he comes to Saul and he come to David, he fell on his face, he prostrated himself, and David said, Mel? And he answers him, where is your servant? So David said to him, do not fear, I will surely know your kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I will restore. Everybody say restore. Restore. Come on, everybody say restore. Restore. One more time, say restore. Restore. Everybody say, I want what is mine back. Say it again, say, I want what's mine's back. Restoring means something got stolen from you, right? If it's restored to you, it was yours and you lost it. How much has the human race lost? Well, go read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. In the beginning, we walked with God in the garden. In the beginning, we were laying around, tilling gardens, having God walk with us. And now here we are today. All right? You restore, you get restored something, it was yours. Everybody say again, it's mine. Listen to me, you've got to know what is yours, otherwise you don't know what got stolen. You got to know what is your relationship supposed to be with Jesus that it's not now. What's the devil stolen from you? The devil loves to use external abuse to come into your life and to warp you, twist you through those external problems that were not even your doing, and twist you around and then get you in bondage so that you lose what's your right. Listen to me, folks. You're supposed to be able to wake up in the morning, go in there, pray, and hear from heaven. You are supposed to have a relationship with God that is alive and well. You're supposed to be seeing miracles happen in your life. You are supposed to be seeing things that you pray for coming to pass. You're supposed to be able to see the devil fleeing from you 7 ways when you discover him. You're supposed to be being overrun by blessings every day. You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be full of joy. You're supposed to walk in love. You're supposed to be generous. You're supposed to be a blessing to everybody around you. You're supposed to have people want to just be around you because they want what you've got. And if you don't have all of that that I just said, and I don't think any of us do, then you have some restoring that needs to be yours. And you need to find out, and through what I'm preaching to you, the word here, you need to figure it out. What's yours that needs to be restored? O'Mel here had been living in hiding off out in the bushes, a lame kid that had no hope and no future. And all of a sudden now David, the king, has called him forth. He thinks he's going to kill him, because that's what typically was done. He didn't know he was going to get showed mercy. He didn't understand that he had a covenant with Jonathan, his father. And he brings him in there. And anyway, he says, and he bowed himself. He says, what is your servant that you should look on me as a dead dog as I am? That was his thinking in his life. I am just a dead dog. And listen to me. If the devil has got you convinced you're nothing but a dead dog, you've taken it hook, line, and sinker. You've taken the bait. You are hooked. You are snared. You are nothing but a fish on the end of a reel. And God wants you restored. He wants the line cut. He wants the hook out of your mouth. He doesn't want you to fall for that trap anymore. He doesn't want you to fall into that thinking anymore, into that rut anymore, the external abuse that came upon you. He wants you free from it. He wants you free to be who God called you to be. He wants you to be free to walk in all the blessings he has for you. Are y'all with me? So Mel here had a problem. An external abuse that came to him caused him to have a thinking that he was nothing but a dead dog. He was lame in his feet. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I can't work. I can't do anything. I got dropped on my head as a kid, and I can't, you know, and I don't deserve anything. So look at this. He said, and the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given to your master's son all that belongs to Saul and all of his house. You therefore and all your sons and all your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mel, your master's servant, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will I your servant do. As for Mel, he said to the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. So all of a sudden this old Mel, who was thinking he was just like a dead dog, he gets to sit in a position of honor at the king's table, while he gets Ziba and all of his sons and all of his servants to go out and work his grandfather's property. So all of a sudden, Mel went from, I am a dead dog, to I am a prosperous person with people working for me while I sit here at the king's table. Now that's important to remember, the king's table. Everybody say the king's table. Everybody say, restore me to the king's table. This message is getting better as I preach it. Somebody better be taking notes. Say it again. Say, restore me to the king's table. What does Psalms 23 say? What does God love to do? Jesus says, I'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, right? Well, he wants to restore to you the king's table. Listen to me, he wants to restore to you the king's table. Get that in your heart, man. He wants to restore to you the king's table. He wants to restore you to that position, that place of authority, that place of sitting there at the king's table. You are not a dead dog. I don't care where you've been, and I don't care what you've done. There is repentance, grace, mercy, the blood of Jesus, and he wants you restored to the king's table. He wants to be able to sit there and talk to you and tell you things of great glory. So don't let the thinking, and I want to show you how to break it in just a second, don't let the thinking of the external abuse set your parameters in life. Don't be offended by this, but everybody in your family can be an idiot, but that doesn't mean you have to be. Now, let me carry this story on. Now, in 2 Samuel 19, and you can go back and just read all this and get it down in your heart. In 2 Samuel 19, now, David's son, Absalom, comes and tries to take over the kingdom. And as he's trying to take over the kingdom, well, then David has to flee Jerusalem. So he gets in his army and he leaves. Okay? So everybody got up and left. And Mel, who's lame in his feet, he can't saddle a horse. He can't get a chariot. He can't do anything. He's got to have some help. Well, everybody flees and they leave Mel. So David comes back into the city after Absalom, his son, and it's all ended. And he comes back into the city and here's Mel. So David's a little ticked. What it looks like, now this is so important, just hang on here, folks, listen to me, don't lose me. What it looks like is Mel has been ungrateful. Because David comes riding in, there he is. He didn't leave with everybody else. He didn't look like he supported David. And he rides back in and here he is. And it says right here in verse 24, 2 Samuel 19:24. Now, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes for many days, and the king from the day the king had departed until the day he returned in peace. So it was that when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me?" And he answered, "O my lord king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may cause to ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame.' He has slandered your servant, my lord, the king, but my lord, the king, is like the angel of God. Therefore, do whatever is good in your eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before the Lord, the king. And you set your servant among those who eat at your table. Therefore, what is right, I still cry out any more for the king." So the king said to him, "Why do you speak any more of your matters? What I've said, you and Ziba divide the land." And Mephibosheth said to the king, "Rather let me take it. Let him take it all, inasmuch as the Lord King has come back in peace to his own house." Now, what happened was that when David was out in the battlefield, Ziba, the servant, comes riding up, has a whole bunch of food, a whole bunch of stuff. And he says, "What are you doing? Where's your master, Mel?" And he said, "He didn't come. I just got all this stuff for you. He stayed back. He thinks Absalom's going to win." And he deceived David. So then when David comes riding back in, there's old Mephibosheth, and he says, "What have you been doing?" And he's like, "Man, I haven't taken a bath, I haven't shaved or anything." He says, "You're gone, man, my servant deceived me." So David said, "All right, you guys just divide it," because he had already given, when Ziba came out there, he had already given him all the land. Told him, "Well, if Mel's going to stay there, then everything he's got is yours." But if you notice something, Mephibosheth didn't care about the land. He didn't care about the money. He didn't care about Ziba. He didn't care that Ziba had wronged him. He said, "Give it all to him. I'm just happy you're here." And everybody say, "Restore me to the king's table." I want to tell you all this morning how you get restored to the king's table in a second. In a second. I'm talking about in a second. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. I'm talking a second here. I believe at the end of this service, every one of you can be restored to the king's table if you so choose. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew 6, 14. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be awed and in despair. Some of you are going to start gnashing your teeth as I read this verse to you. But the truth is the truth. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." How you get set free from external abuse in your life is you forgive. The moment in your heart you forgive, however the external abuse came on you, if someone did it, something did it, whatever came on you, the moment you can come to the grips and say, "Jesus, I forgive them. You are at that exact moment, in that split second, restored to the king's table. The problem is, we don't want to forgive because what we want to do is we want to exact justice upon the person or persons or situation, and we want to be the judge and the administrator of vengeance. And within our hearts, we can't turn them loose because we believe they're going to get scot-free and never be punished for what they did to us. Okay? So let me read on. Let me read another scripture here to you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Few things you may want to jot down here. Forgiveness frees us from the wrong of the past to live in the present. Forgiveness frees us from the wrong of the past to live in the present. It's not agreement with what they did. It's you stepping ahead and taking the upper hand through forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Everybody say, I'm a new creation. You know that never prior to Jesus coming on the face of the earth and Jesus being resurrected and being able to forgive us of our sins by the power of his blood and what he did and the Spirit of God coming to live on the inside of man, prior to that, that had never been. New creation started at Jesus' resurrection, that men, mere mortal men, could confess with their mouth and believe in their heart in Jesus. And Jesus would, the Spirit of God would come to live and dwell on the inside of us, and we would be vessels of His Holy Spirit, new creations. Before that, only the priests, the prophets, and the kings, the Spirit of God would come upon and talk to and lead. But now that's not how God, He wants to dwell with us and dwell in us. Okay? So new creations, He says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In order to walk and to forgive, you have to realize that you've been forgiven. The first step to walking in forgiveness, you have to realize you have been forgiven. And the debt that was keeping you from ever entering into heaven, forever having any restoration to the king's table, anything that was ever going to take place in your life, has been restored to you because you have been forgiven. You have been shown mercy. Now, therefore, you have to give mercy. Now, listen to me. There is not one of you in here, and I'm not proud of this, but I'm just telling you the truth. There's not one of you in here could be a greater judge than me and a greater punisher than me. I can come up with ways to torment people that have done me wrong. You can't even get into my realms of depths of craziness. Okay? So speaking from a professional, you're mere novices to what I can come up with. Okay? And I want to exact justice upon people who have wronged me. I want to bring vengeance upon them. The other day, I was having a bad day, and it seemed like everybody I went around and was with, it was rough. So I got home, and Laura said, how's everything going? I said, man, I have murdered so many people today. It is terrible. I have got to just go pray and sit in the presence of God, because that's only thoughts I had today was, I have murdered, I have killed. Oh, ridiculous, sweetie. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Jesus. I have just, that's the thought that came to my mind. on a continual basis today. So I'm not immune. None of us are. You can't get to this place where the sting and the hurt from the external abuse does not affect you. But you've got to quickly learn that you're going to be tormented worse staying in it, trying to exact vengeance upon them, than you are just getting yourself restored to the king's table so you can sit there and say, Lord, help me get through this and just get me with the place I need to be. You got to understand what you're losing and what you're giving up to go exact that vengeance. And what you're giving up is your seat at the king's table. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but I would sure a whole lot rather be at the king's table, who my King Jesus says, listen, Robert, give it to me, because I'll take care of it, and I'll heap burning fiery coals upon their head, and I'll take care of the situation, but it's not your job to do it. You don't get to exact vengeance in my kingdom. And sit at the table and know that Jesus is going to justify, rectify everything in his authority, and it will be perfect. And you're not even going to enter the realm of forgiveness until you understand this, that every time you go to set yourself up as judge against that person, I'm not saying what they did was right. Listen, don't get this wrong. It's not some kind of a gray area, did somebody do me wrong or not. They did me wrong. Are y'all with me? I'm not debating that. What they did was wrong. I'm not giving them grace for it. Listen to me. If I go to a restaurant and they serve me bad food, I'm not going back. I'm not going to go outside and say, Lord, I just want to pray for them. This restaurant here serveth horrible food. And so, Lord, I just forgive them, but I guess I'll come back and keep eating here. If it's bad food, I ain't going back. Listen to me. You bite me once, listen, I'll forgive you, but that doesn't mean I have to go back and be your friend. Said, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. No, wait a minute. Folks, listen to me. Jesus never called you to be somebody's doormat. Hear me, what I'm saying to you. He never called you to be somebody's doormat. Religious thinking has gotten everything off out of whack and tried to make people think that, oh, in order to be a Christian, you have to be run over all the time. But listen to me. When you sit at the king's table, you start to have compassion for everybody. And there's many times I have sat at the king's table when God has showed me something about the person that has wronged me, that then I felt sorry for him. And then I prayed for him. And then I asked God to restore him. And then my heart changed because I could see how they had external abuse upon them that created them to make that happen, to cause this that then came upon me. I couldn't see it when I was angry, and I couldn't see it when I was in unforgiveness. But when I was sitting at the king's table, then I could see it. We want to be restored to the king's table. And the only way you're going to get there is to get out of the judgment, to get out of the finger pointing, to get out of wanting to exact vengeance, to get out of all the things that you're dreamed up. And to forgive. To forgive. I want you to turn to Luke 23:34. Now let me reiterate a little bit here. If somebody cheats me, okay, cheats me out of money, I'm required to forgive them, but I'm not required to do business with them anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Let's don't get this all crazy now and get off that. Because see, when the devil comes in and says, oh, now you have to go and keep doing business with them because until God, No. That's... they belong to Jesus. Let him deal with them. I just don't exact vengeance and justice upon them. All right? I'll tell on myself again. I tried in a psychological level to walk in forgiveness for a long time. And I think I've told you all this. So in other words, like my first thoughts were very wicked of horrible things I thought about doing to a person. And then so I would say, Lord, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to do this to them, which would be less than what the other one was. And then I would slowly start trying to work this back, you know, so that the next time I was just, it was a little less severe of what I was going to exact upon them, you know. And, you know, there's that, one of those Western movies, Open Range, where the old crazy guy says, I'll drive your families out into the prairie, in the cold prairie, and kill everybody and everybody you ever know, you know. That's how I would start out, and then I would start working it back, you know, to, I just won't speak to them, you know. And I was trying to work like that. And one day the Lord just stopped me. He said, Robert, he says, you know, that's real good thinking in your head, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing it by the Spirit. I'm talking about by the Spirit saying, Jesus, I forgive them because you forgave me. And understanding that you owed me. You owed me the debt of your life. And you were never going to get into heaven. And do this by the Spirit and saying, okay, Father, just like I was forgiven, free and clear, that I'm very happy about, I forgive them free and clear. And it was, I realized it was, I was doing a whole lot of mental work that really was just getting me to the place that I could have just forgiven right off the bat and didn't have to go through that. You with me? Two things Jesus did on the cross that will help you here. In Luke 23:34 is the line you probably all know. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they did. So a lot of times, there's so much truth in that, that you can come to the place and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He said, well, they did know what they were doing. Not necessarily. Because of the external abuse that came upon them, they're not even operating in a clear mind. There are, and it amazes me, and I pray I never run into them, but there are some people that are so wicked upon the face of the earth that the Bible talks about in the end times that they run and dig holes in their cave and dig holes and go into caves and pray for the rocks to fall on them because they just want to get away from the face of God. In other words, they will not even think about honoring God. That's a pretty wicked person who, rather than trying to reconcile with God, would run from God and say, I don't want you in my life. That's pretty wicked. Okay? But I believe that most people do not really know that they're the mouthpiece and the hand of the devil. And that through their own external abuse that's come into their life, they don't really understand what's happening to them. That's what I believe. I still believe that there's some goodness inside of people. They may be totally and completely given over and possessed in the sense that they're listening, all they're doing is listening to the devil and hurting as many people as they can. But the truth of the matter is they don't really see, because if God showed up and stood in front of them and they really saw God, I think they would fall on their faces and repent. Some won't, but I believe the majority would if they really understood it. Most people who are stealing and cheating and lying and whatever, that's all they're doing because they're trying to stay ahead, because inside of them they're scared somebody's going to take advantage of them. So they're hurting as many people as they can, and they don't even realize what they're doing. Because they have external abuse that they never have been healed of. They're not sitting at the king's table where you need to be. They haven't got restored back to the king's table. Now, you remember old Mephibosheth there, when he was at the king's table, what did he say? I just want to be at your table, Lord. Nothing else really matters. When you get this revelation about forgiveness, you can start to say, this external abuse that's come upon me in life, it's affecting all of my decisions in life. It's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my relationship with my children. It's affecting my relationship with people, everybody else. It's affecting my business and everything else. And so you say, man, Lord, what am I doing? It's not worth all of that. I just want to be at the King's table and walk in your grace and your mercy, because that's really all that matters, is between you and I, Jesus, we're right. So I forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. The second thing Jesus said on the cross, you can find in the book of John, chapter 19, verse 30. The second thing Jesus said on the cross. There came that time after Jesus was about to die, and he said these words, "It's finished." You know, listen to me, that you've walked in forgiveness. You know that you're sitting back at the King's table when you can say, "It's finished." I have forgiven people, and then they hurt me again, and it welled up things inside of me. And I said, I've had to stop before and say, wait a minute, whoa, no, I ain't falling back in that trap. It's finished. I forgave them. It's over with. I'm not going back there and setting up a courtroom again. Because we want to set up a courtroom, stack the jury, right? And be building the hangman's gallows outside. Y'all with me? And I had to stop and I say, nope, it's finished. I'm not going back there. No, devil, you're not going to trip me up and get me back into this place and come back on me and cause me to have torment and restless nights and hurting and pain in my heart. I'm not going to do that. It's finished. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, and it's finished can be two of the most powerful words in your life and revelations in your life. To not let the devil get you back involved in that again. I want to be at the King's table. How about you? I want to be sitting at the King's table. That's where the glory is. That's where the victory is. That's where I want to be, is at the King's table. Amen? So this is what I want to do. I want to pray for you. I want to ask you, just put up your Bibles and your notes, and I want to ask just everybody to stand to your feet. In a second, remember I told you, in a second, you can be at the King's table. But in order to be at the King's table, you've got to take that step and you've got to walk in forgiveness. It's unforgiveness that's keeping you out of the King's table. So this is what I want to ask you to do. Y'all just bow your heads. Because I don't want everybody to raise hands or do something like that. You know if this message is speaking to you. And you know today that if God is pricking, the Holy Spirit's pricking things on the inside of you, and you're thinking about the external abuse that came in your life, that you need to forgive somebody. Well, I want to ask you right now just to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to help you. I'm going to pray for you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, all over this room, Lord, I know that all of us have experienced external abuse. Things that have come upon us, things that have been perpetrated upon us, and it wasn't things that we did because it was our fault. It just happened to us, Lord. Lord, it just happened to us. We're like Mephibosheth, Lord, we just got dropped. And right now, we want to sit at the King's table. Lord, that's where we want to be, is at the King's table with you. And all the other things do not matter, Lord. All the physical things that don't matter, Lord. Right now, we just want to be at the table with you, because if we're at the table with you, then you can restore our souls. You can restore our souls. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we choose to forgive. Lord, we choose to forgive. We choose to forgive those people, those situations. We choose to forgive. Holy Spirit, restore us to the King's table. Restore us to the King's table. We declare, they don't know what they did. And we declare, Lord, that today we put our foots down and we say, it's finished. No more are we going to hold people in judgment. No longer, Lord, are we going to hold people in bondage. Lord, we don't want the chains. We don't want the weights. We don't want the pressures. We want to be at the King's table, just sitting there eating and dining and walking with you. So right now, in Jesus' name, we choose to forgive. We just choose to forgive. Everybody say this with me. Say, Jesus, I choose to forgive. I want to be at your table. I want to walk in your grace. I want to walk in your mercy. So today, I declare it's finished. Everybody say that again. Today, I declare it's finished. Say it again. Today, I declare it's finished. One more time. Say, today, I declare it's finished. Amen. Now, look here. Some of you, I know right now you got restored to the King's table. Others of you are looking over at the table saying, well, it looks nice, but I'm still over here right now holding court. I totally understand. I totally understand. But what I want to suggest to you is that you don't let this message slip through your fingers. I would suggest you writing on your mirror or on your side of your, you know, have it on your fridge or something to remind you, I want to be at the King's table. I want to be restored to the King's table. If you haven't brought yourself to the place where you can utter from your lips, I forgive them, then just keep uttering from your lips, I want to be restored to the King's table. Because I want to tell you something. That's the place where you're going to find your victory. That's where you're going to find your happiness. That's where you're going to find your joy. Amen? Amen. So look at the person beside you and say, the King's table is a good place. Amen. Well, let me have my prayer team come down up here. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, you want to pray, maybe you want to pray about this situation with somebody, then we're here to pray with you. But if not, folks who live in a dying and hurting world, this week you're going to run across a lot of people that need help, need Jesus. So I encourage you, point them in the right direction. Amen. So grab that person's hand beside you. I'm going to close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that as we leave this building, we go out of here, Lord, as new creations into the world, people that are forgiven. And I ask you right now, Lord, that as we run across people this week, we run across, they come across our paths, Lord, that we will be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Because we want to be sitting at the King's table. That's where we want to live, is at the King's table. So, Lord, put your hand on them. Bless them. Bless them, Lord God, and give us divine appointments this week. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.